Good morning. Matthew 11, I'm going to start reading with the 28th verse. Just going to read three verses here. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is going to be my sermon today. It's hard to express how good it is to see all of you. I see your faces and it's just wonderful. I still feel a little like I'm driving. You know, I feel that alertness and that vibration. Covered too many miles in the last month. Glad to be home. This journey I was just on, this trip, was full of surprises. But, you know, that's life. That's what all of us are living from day to day. Last night felt a little panic, honestly, about this sermon, just because my last brain cell was spent. I didn't have any energy. I felt like I couldn't put two thoughts together. And so it's this kind of panic. How do I face tomorrow? But you know, I even think of a sermon in this way, and that's that most of our most important sermons, be it from me or any one of you, is a surprise. It's a situation that comes into your life and you face it with God's help. And it says more to people than hours of standing up here trying to give something that's prepared. And you just don't get a warning. It's suddenly there. You have the situation to face. I was in St. Louis. I'd just been through Kansas City and been through Colorado and Nebraska. But I got a call from Dolly, and she wanted me to, she wanted first to find out if she had the right number for me, and she was providing it for her mom because her aunt had passed away. Catherine Lavelle is her name now, but it was Catherine Darlington when I was a kid. We were the same age, about 6 months apart, and we were just fast friends back then. Used to work at her. We'd go and visit, and Catherine and I would work out in the milk barn, pushing the cows around and feeding them and hooking them up to the milker and, you know, just getting the work done. And I think most of what I've learned about saddling a horse, I learned either from Catherine or Clyde Darlington. And we spent hours riding horses and stuff. It was a lot of fun. But in those days, we were young. We were immortal. Things have changed now. I just get up out of a chair and it hurts. I like the phrase, release the Kraken. Try to get up out of bed in the morning and things just don't work like they used to. And I thought, I fell off that horse sometimes when we were riding. It would kill me today. I just don't bounce the same. But life comes at you, and it's a surprise. And if there's anything we need in facing all these surprises and facing the world today, we need to come to Jesus. We need Him. We need Him every hour. We need Him at all times. As I read through this, it doesn't say that just that simple. It says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. and I will give you rest. So it's already talking that you're busy, and aren't we? We are. Come unto me, all ye that are that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So how do you picture that? It's right now I want to picture it like a nap. But it's important to read these next two verses. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. So he's not talking about laying down and taking a nap. He's talking about laboring for him. He's not just talking to like ministry. He's talking to all his children. Take my yoke upon me. You know what a yoke is? Anybody? When the old oxen, it was a fit over their shoulders, and it was what the oxen would lean into to pull the wagon. And it also steers the oxen. So you're taking on the Lord's work, and you're taking on his direction. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. That's the kind of rest he wants for us. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. And I marvel at the number of times I've been given something to face, and I knew I wasn't up to it. I knew it. But over the years of him continually being my support, being my strength, I began to have a different kind of faith. I knew that when I was unprepared, I knew that when I was unable, he is able. He is able. He is prepared. He is strong. I'm going to go over to the Book of Mormon now. And I think I'll start first with the 13th chapter of the second book of Nephi. This is a favorite. I'm just going to start with the 30th verse. I'm just going to read three verses again. Wherefore, if ye shall press forward, feasting upon the word of Christ, and endure to the end, behold, thus saith the Father, ye shall have eternal life. And now behold, my beloved brethren, this is the way, and there is none other way, nor name given under heaven, whereby man can be saved in the kingdom of God. And now behold, this is the doctrine of Christ, and the only and true doctrine of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, which is one God without end. Amen. So this speaks about pressing forward with Christ. It talks about pressing forward. It talks about feasting upon the word of Christ. And it talks about enduring to the end. And this is how we get eternal life. And if you jump back to the 29th verse, wherefore ye must press forward with a steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope and a love of God and of all men. And this brightness of hope, that's the thing that kind of precedes. It's like there's been times that I traveled with Ken or travel with Jay Moser, and we are traveling down in Mexico, and we may have our routine. You know, Jay preached the last sermon, so at the next little village, I will preach that sermon. And it, so we kind of got in mind what we might do. But one thing you find out right away, and Jay told me this, he gave me warning. You may get there and they say something different. They say, I know you preached yesterday at the last village, but we want to hear you now. We even have the occasion where one would preach and then they want the other one to preach. You roll with it. But, you know, let's take it back. That is life. That is the sermons that are read in our very behavior, in our action, the way we react to all the way we react to challenge. It preaches to people. It teaches them. They see an example in it, and they remember it. It's different than just hearing words. On into the chapter that follows, chapter 14. Excuse me. First verse, chapter 14, second book of Nephi. And now behold, my beloved brethren, I suppose that ye ponder somewhat in your hearts concerning that which you should do after that ye have entered in by the way. But behold, why do ye ponder these things in your hearts? Do you not remember that I said unto you that after you had received the Holy Ghost, you could speak with the tongue of angels? And now how could ye speak with the tongue of angels, save it were by the Holy Ghost? Angels speak with the power of the Holy Ghost, speak by the power of the Holy Ghost. Wherefore they speak the words of Christ. Wherefore I say unto you, feast upon the words of Christ. For behold, the words of Christ will tell you all things what ye should do. Wherefore now, after I have spoken these words, if ye cannot understand them, it will be because ye ask not, neither do ye knock. Wherefore ye are not brought into the light, but must perish into the dark, or perish in the dark. I'm going to back up again to when I was young and immortal, and the way I felt then, because it was different than what I've learned now. Feast upon the words of Christ. I think it's easy to read through that and not understand what it's talking about. Feast upon the words of Christ. Oh boy. Does it mean everybody likes to read? It really doesn't. Does it mean everyone knows how to read? Honestly, it really doesn't. I even heard of one local that in his formation, they didn't have any ministry yet, and it was like a 14-year-old girl who knew how to read, and so she originally just would get up and read, and everybody would learn together. I know that when a family gets taken out of their local and they live by themselves in a town and they don't have any ministry, that's what they do. They go ahead and they have church on Sunday. They just go ahead and do it. And it's kind of neat because we've come into an era that, like, I was in Independence visiting on this trip, and I was surprised at how many people that live right there in Independence go to the meetings, go to church, and they may go, you know, to Sunday school and church on Sunday morning, and then they'll go to church in the evening, and by the time they've finished, they've heard 5 sermons. Because there's another local whose live stream fits in between or after, and they, as a habit now, they go and they listen to those. We have resources available to us. They're just marvelous. God gets his message given. He does. he gets his message given. I'm going to back up. I told you that I got a call, and I think I told you that they asked me to do a funeral for my friend, right? I wasn't really prepared for that type thing. I was on a schedule. I had places I had to be. Dolly called me partially because I was in Kansas City. But by the time she called me, I was in St. Louis. And I was headed for Cincinnati. But you know, she went ahead and arranged it so that I would be back headed from Cincinnati to Phoenix, and that I could stop and spend a couple days with them and do that funeral. I want to deal with me a little bit here, because it sounds like I'm just talking about schedules and whether we can make a match and so forth, but I think things are almost always more complex than that. There's a personal energy level. There's so many things that get involved. There was other people I would honestly like to have seen also that I didn't get to see. But what happened was, maybe 2:30 in the morning, I was staying in Blue Springs, Missouri, while I was in Independence, and I woke up because my blood sugar was too low. I'm a diabetic, and so I had to get up, and my alarm had gone off. And so I got up, and when I got up, there was this message going through my mind. And it was, I would call it strange. I did not understand how it could fit. It just, there was nothing in my life that pertained to that. And it was so detailed and it was so word specific that I thought, well, I just ate some food and I got to wait for a little bit for my blood sugar to come up. I'm going to get out my phone and start writing this down. So I opened up a note and I started writing it down. And when I finished, how should I say this? Even more than ever, I didn't understand. It didn't pertain. I didn't understand why it was on my mind, why it was on my heart. And so, actually, we had to travel the next day, and so Cindy and I had gotten everything packed up, and we headed out for Cincinnati, and was that it? No, we headed out for St. Louis, and I actually had Cindy read it while we were traveling, because I just, one of those things that was weird. And so she read it and she thought, I don't know what she thought. I remember her saying, wow, this is really good. But it still didn't make sense to me. And it was just later that day that Dolly called me while I was driving, said, hey, my mom's trying to get a hold of you. And God has a way of trying to prepare us for things before we even know. I like, Amy and Aaron have a library in the center of their home. It's got a little plaque there above their toilet. And it's a quote by Corrie Ten Boom. It says, every experience, every person that God puts in your life is the perfect preparation for a future that only he can see. And over again, I just believe it. It proves to be true over and over and over again. I'm debating, but I'm going to inflict this on you. Give me a second. I'm going to read you those words that I got. And not because it's individual to this sermon, because it's so specific about what ended up going to be true. Even when I couldn't have known, even before the hours that Kathleen went in the hospital, these are the words I was given. So I'm going to read them to you. The name of this is Yes, I'm Grateful. Yes, I'm grateful. I wish I had known. You are my whole, my presence, my rock, my home. My adventure, my past, my bother, my best. It can't be you. Have I gone blind? I still feel, but I can't find. A tease, panic, despair, unkind. Your silence is deafening. Your absence an abyss. God's gifts are immense, much more when it's past. An empty hug, no shadow cast. Someone else read this. Someone else be strong. Someone else give comfort. Someone else sing the song. My courage, a seed, will grow someday. No promise the time, no promise the way. Yes, I'm grateful. I wish I had known. I wouldn't even call it a poem that was from my point of view. I know that Dorothy felt like it really spoke to her. Dorothy, it was her sister she lost. And I felt like her husband, it spoke to him also. God is beyond explanation. He's miraculous. He's all-knowing. I think it's important to understand that he sees. And I'm not talking about just the ministry or somebody. God sees your future. He knows. He knows. Feast on God's word. I knew a young man. He was my friend growing up. We ended up working together later on. He was called into the ministry. And to be blunt, he could hardly read. It was very difficult for him. He was very slow, get a lot of words wrong. But God gave him evidence, and he accepted his call. By and by, his wife started working with him, started having him read to her every night. He would read to her, and she would help him get the words right that he got wrong. And he slowly started getting better and better at reading. But he was always right on point when he preached. He could, in a few words, get right to the point. He didn't waste words. He didn't try to read the whole Bible and Book of Mormon when he got up. He got right to the point. And he used the scriptures he needed to give the message, and then he was done. And why do I tell you this? I think we use every excuse to count ourselves out of service to God. And I'm not just talking about ministry. When you take his yoke upon you, when you come to Jesus, you've got a life to live for him. You have service for him. I've even heard the expression that, and I believe it comes from a lot of misunderstanding, that I've heard young people talk that they didn't want to get real familiar with God's word because they didn't want to be. They didn't want to be called. I just want to tell you, this is about your life. This is about eternity. Come to Jesus. In John, the third chapter, I'm going to start reading with verse 17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. I like the terminology, he that doeth truth. When we feast on God's word, it's about applying it. It's about feast. That's a different word. You take it in. You digest it. You consume it. I think feast, actually, there's a piece of it for me that means enjoy. Because I like to eat. Feast on God's word. And when you come to Jesus again, you take his yoke upon you. There's work to do. A life to live for Jesus. In John, the 14th chapter, I'm going to read, I think I'll start with verse 15 and read through 21. If ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live. Ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. This manifest myself to him, that's probably where I'm going with this more than anything else. When you feast on God's word, well, maybe I'll speak for myself, okay? I did not like to read. I didn't like school. Ended up going to college. Lost my mind. But I didn't like to read, and yet I've had to do it a lot. Why did I end up reading out of the Bible and out of the Book of Mormon? Why? If I'm being honest, it wasn't to be a scholar. It wasn't. In fact, I don't feel like I've looked at the scholars in the world, the Bible scholars and so forth, and been a great admirer. I feel like people learn and learn and learn, and it's like it says in Timothy, they kind of never come to a knowledge of the truth. Some of the people I've talked to that went to seminary and so forth, there wasn't something that told me I need to be a scholar. I went back, and I went back again, and I would read, and I would read more, because when I read his word, I felt his presence. I felt his presence. He would manifest himself to me. When you feast on his word, when you take it in, when you digest it, when it's accompanied by the Holy Ghost, you're literally coming to Jesus. You're getting to know him. You feel his presence and his guidance. That's why I went back. That's why I kept reading. That's why I kept studying, is because I wanted to be with him. I don't think I even thought that consciously. I was falling in love. So I kept going back. It's to come to Jesus, to get to know who he is, what he's like, the way he reacted to things. Experience his example when he walked this earth. That's why we feast. And it is a feast of joy. It's a feast of comfort. It's a feast of peace that passes understanding. That's why we feast. I want to go to Isaiah, the 6th chapter. We just happened to be studying this in Sunday school this morning in phone church. Where shall I start? I want to start with verse 3, I think. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone. Because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Now this is Isaiah. Is it Isaiah feeling worthy? Is it Isaiah filling up to it? It's Isaiah saying, I am undone. I'm unclean. My lips are unclean. And I live with unclean people. He's not saying, I'm up to it. He's saying, woe is me. Then flew one of the seraphim unto him, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and whom will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. And I want to stop for a little bit, because I think these are so powerful, so important words. And I said, here am I, send me. This is about somebody who was undone, someone who felt unclean, sinful, not ready. And yet, at the Lord's call, he said, here am I, send me. This morning while we were in Sunday school, it brought back a memory to me. This is back when the Temple Lot Local, it was the old church that had the two sets of stairs that went up each side. The chapel was upstairs, and where you came into the church was downstairs from that, the main level. There was no basement. And there was this rite of passage at the Temple Lot Local. And it was one of those things I'd seen since I was a baby. But it became more and more powerful to me every year as I watched. I'd come in the morning, and there was Kenneth Smith. And he was standing there with his crutches leaning against the wall. And the rite of passage was, when you got old enough, you got strong enough, that he would look at you and he'd say, young man, come here. I need you to carry me upstairs. There was no elevator in that day. And so Kenneth would wait till somebody came in and he'd say, carry me upstairs. And when he looked at you and said, oh, he's ready to carry me upstairs, it was like, I'm a man now. I know those things are funny, but I think it's an illustration of what we're talking about. Here am I, send me. You watch. You want to become a part. And finally, somebody gives you a chance. And so you latch on and you carry him upstairs. That's what we did with him. He had polio. He couldn't climb stairs. So yeah, I was a man. I finally got to carry Kenneth up the stairs. Here am I, send me. It's about being of service. It's about being of service. And he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. That sounds a bit negative, but the only reason is because it's negative. It really is. It's hard to do. And he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and convert and be healed. Then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate, and the Lord have removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. But yet in it shall be a tenth, and it shall return, and shall be eaten as a teal tree, as an oak, whose substance is in them. When they cast their leaves, so the holy seed shall be the substance thereof. I wanted to go ahead and read that because I think that there is a thing even for us sitting in this congregation, a hardness to see sometimes, a hardness to hear, a refusal to step forward because, oh, there's probably as many reasons as there are people in here. We have these little things that stop us, that make us hesitate, that make us dependent on one another, and dependent meaning, well, yeah, I want to, but I'm not gonna do it as long as that person does this. Or, you know, we have these little things we let get in the way. I saw a neat cartoon one time. I think it was Herman or something like that, maybe The Far Side. But it's got these two robots sitting on the couch together, and the counselor is sitting there, and he goes, well, I can see you've gotten very good at pushing each other's buttons. And these robots have buttons all around. We do that to each other. And I honestly don't believe we come in with a desire to make people hesitate. I don't believe we have this desire to turn each other off or turn each other away or discourage one another. But I do believe that there is a master deceiver who uses those buttons, who knows where they are and how to get somebody to push it. And so we end up, because we're dependent, remember that word, we're blaming it on somebody else. So they're the reason, they're the excuse that I don't move forward. The reason I don't come to Jesus. The reason I don't take upon me his yoke. That I don't carry his burden. These things are personal. No matter who you think is in your way, it's really between you and God. It really is. There's not someone in the way. It's you. It's you. We have to personally decide to come to Jesus. And I can almost guarantee when you do, somebody's going to push a button and you got to get through it. You got to be up to it. All of life is going to be that way. We have to take upon ourselves that yoke. It's nobody else's decision. It's nobody else's fault. I also wanted to read this because when you take upon you that burden, when you accept trying to be a good example, be one of God's children, and walk forward in virtue, live a good life, be a good example, living a life that is a sermon to other people, a good sermon. When you do that, remember where you used to be. Remember, you had your day where your eyes did not see. You had your day where your ears did not hear. Be merciful. But go ahead and live and take upon you that yoke. I'm going to turn over to Hebrews, the 13th chapter. And I'm going to read the first three verses. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. And I'm reading this for the same reason. That as you look at one another in love, that when you approach people, that your heart be with them, not against them. And that your speech be seasoned so that it's palatable, the things that you say. That it can be accepted in love. Be gentle, be kind with one another. Be full of this brotherly love. And I'm gonna end with Matthew, the 5th chapter, because I think it's another button that I just want to mention. And if I had time, I would read it all, but I'm going to start with verse 39 of the 5th chapter of Matthew. And this chapter started out, you know, with the Beatitudes. If you remember what the Beatitudes are, it's, you know, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And it goes through discussing so many things where it's actually kind of explaining what he wants us to be like and what he wants us to understand. But jumping over to verse 39, because I'm going to get to a word that I think many times we stumble over, and I feel like this chapter gives definition to that word. Let me start with verse 39, Matthew 5th chapter. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man shall sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. Boy, these are humbling. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. And as you read these things, okay, oh, okay, that's a yoke. That's a yoke I got to take on. That ye may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. And let me stop again, because I don't want to believe that. If I'm the Lord's, if I do good things, everything's supposed to go my way. I'm supposed to have good health. I'm supposed to be happy all the time. I'm supposed to have plenty of money. It's not the way it works. The rain descends on the evil and on the good. We need to live this life. Walk into the challenges carrying His yoke with His Holy Spirit with you, with that brightness of hope that comes from knowing that He is able. He is good. He can take that coal from off the altar and touch your lips. He can make you able. Yeah, 46. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? So it's said here in these two verses that we're not to divide out the worthy and the unworthy. That is not ours. We be good to all of them. We lend to all of them. We give to those that ask. We let them take our coat, whether they were good or evil. And here's the button. Understanding these definitions that have gone before. Verse 48. Be ye therefore perfect. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Now the world, you probably heard all your life, nobody is perfect. It's one of those buttons. One of those things you hear it and you go, oh, well, no, I won't. I'm not perfect. Sorry. But that's, if you look this up, what words it was interpreted from in the Greek, it means complete. It means whole. In other words, you lived it like this. You were good to the good. You were good to the bad. You lived your life loving God's creatures. Whether they met your definition of worthy or not, you went ahead and you became God's servant to all. And again, just for emphasis, I'm not just like talking about the ministry. I'm talking about everyone who comes to Jesus, everyone who takes that yoke upon them, that yoke of coming to Jesus. We need Him. We need Him in all things. Come to Jesus.